Good morning, everyone. So the president departs this hemisphere tonight.
Absolutely.
Heads off for an 8-day trip to Asia. He's going to visit Seoul, Singapore. He'll spend 3 days in China. And the conventional wisdom is, of course, China is the whole ball of wax there.
Right.
The huge issues all involve China. And the big issues on this trip are going to be global warming, the economy, nuclear proliferation, particularly in North Korea. But the first destination is Tokyo, and it'll be a chance for Barack Obama to spend some time with the new Japanese Prime Minister, Hatoyama, who has recently called for a more, quote, equal relationship with the United States. Rejoining us is Kenneth Lieberthal, director of the John L. Thornton China Center at the Brookings Institution. Ken, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Martin Fackler, we contacted. He's the Tokyo bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times. He's in Tokyo. He'll be there at the first destination of President Obama when he arrives there. Martin Fackler, good morning.
No, thank you. Good morning.
Martin, let's just begin with you. Ken Lieberthal suggested that there are very important bilateral issues that Barack Obama will need to address with each of his counterparts in Seoul, South Korea, and in Singapore. What are the issues in Tokyo?
Well, I think the main issue is the American bases in Okinawa. The new government in Japan has come into office promising to alleviate the burden for Okinawans. And I think that there's a lot of miscommunication now, and people aren't seeing eye to eye on exactly how they're going to do that. But I think that The Washington and Tokyo need to work out some sort of a plan for how to address Japan's concerns.
Now, you could hear some of that confusion or lack of communication or speaking at odds in the words of Secretary of Defense Robert Gates. And he was speaking last month talking about the Futenma Air Base, which is on the island of Okinawa, which seems to be the major issue here.
Without the Futenma facility, there will be no relocation to Guam. And without relocation to Guam, there will be no consolidation of forces and return of land in Okinawa.
It sounds like he's ruling out any change in the status quo, Martin Fackler.
Yeah, that was the tone. The tone from Washington so far is they want to go with the original deal, which is to relocate that air station at Futenma to another place in Okinawa. The problem is the Okinawans are furious. They want the base off their island, and Tokyo is caught in the middle. They want to appease their partner in Washington, but at the same time, they've also got public opinion at home, particularly in Okinawa, which voted for the party of Prime Minister Hatoyama during the most recent election.
Kenneth Lieberthal, let's talk a little bit about the economic relationship between the U.S. and Japan. It seems to me that Barack Obama would have some clout with China if he could get Japan's economy restarted and the combined U.S. and Japanese economic might would seem to be a formidable competitor to what's going on in China. Is that what needs to happen? Does the Japanese economy need to come alive for the economic relationship to have more meaning?
No, I don't think so. The Japanese economy right now is, like the U.S. economy, increasingly integrated with the Chinese economy. A lot of Japan's exports to the United States produce the major part of the export in Japan, but then send it to China for final assembly and some additional work, and then to the U.S. So to pose these economies as if they were each a kind of self-contained block and you move them around on a chessboard, I think misses what's really been going on. The Chinese have become the point of final assembly for parts and components from all over Asia and largely for export to Europe and the United States. So this is simply a complex set of interrelationships. It's not a matter of if we jumpstart Japan, we can jumpstart ourselves, then we can block China's rise or something like that. It simply doesn't set up that way at all in the real world.
Martin Fackler, is it possible, though, that Obama has an argument if Japan's economy improves, that represents jobs for Americans in Japanese-owned factories back in the United States?
Well, there's certainly an argument for improving the economy just because for the last 20 years, Japan has been a bit of a dead weight on the world economy. It would be nice to have another engine to global growth besides the United States. And of course, China has been coming up as well. But Japan is still the world's second largest economy, and it really has been stuck in neutral for about two decades now. So it would be nice to kind of get some life back to the Japanese economy and get some growth. And I think there's definitely an argument to be had there.
What do people say on the streets in Japan? Do they believe that China is inevitably going to, you know, sort of rule the world in terms of their region and their hemisphere? And does the Barack Obama charisma, you know, hold much weight on the streets of Tokyo?
Let me ask the second one first. I believe Obama is very well regarded here. Yeah, in fact, he's even a bit of an English teacher. People listen to his speeches here to study English, so he's a very popular figure here.
Wow.
With the first question, there's a lot of concern about China, but there's also a lot of hope about China. It's a complex issue here because the Japanese economy is very much wedded to the Chinese economy now. And so there's concern about China's military presence. There were some incidents a few years ago where a Chinese submarine went through Japanese waters, and Chinese ships drilling platforms have been looking for natural gas in waters also claimed by Japan. And so there is that sort of competitive side, but there's also the recognition that China is now Japan's largest trade partner. As Kenneth mentioned, many of the high-end products that are now built in Japan are components that are then assembled in China and then shipped to the world. So, Japan's future, I think if you talk to most folks here, really is tied to China as much as it is to the U.S. And so it really is a complex picture. I don't think it's a simple sort of fear or rivalry.
You know, we're talking a lot about trade and about the economy, Ken, and we spoke earlier with someone from Human Rights Watch saying that they hoped that the human rights issue came up on this trip, that the human rights issue seems to never come up on trips from U.S. Officials overseas to China. Is there any political will in Japan at all with them as their largest trading party to talk about human rights issues with China?
Ken?
Well, I think first of all, the statement, I don't know who made it, that human rights don't come up on trips by American officials to China is just simply flat wrong. It comes up on virtually every single trip an American official makes. Barack Obama certainly will raise it. The issue is whether we raise it in a very public fashion and seek to humiliate China's leaders while we're there on official visits, or whether we raise it persistently and more quietly and try to improve the situation over in China. But it is a constant theme on our agenda, so I just want to correct that record. I think I can leave it to Martin to comment on whether the Japanese are likely to raise it.
Well, we're going to have to go. We have to get the headlines here, but it is an interesting set of issues, both on the table and sort of in the background that you describe. But Kenneth Lieberthal, director of the John L. Thornton China Center at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C., thanks for that. And also Martin Fackler, Tokyo Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. And at 15 minutes past the hour, let's take a look at some headlines.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.